Okay, so I'm John Glover, Director of IMT at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Tell you a little bit about our teletracking project, but to help put that into some perspective, I'll start off and tell you a little bit about our organisation. Overactive clicker now. So in terms of the Countess, it's a district general hospital, pretty bog standard in many ways, face all the usual challenges. In terms of beds, we're about 600 beds on the Countess Hospital site, and then a few others down at Ellesmere Port. We've got about 4,000 staff, and we've got some ambitions. In terms of technology, we've been, I guess, using technology in an acute setting for quite a number of years, starting off back in 1999, we went live with our Meditech EPR system. We use Meditech for pretty much almost everything in the hospital. So our electronic prescribing is on it, our pathology department is on it, our patient administration system is on it, our nurse and AHP noting is on it. Pretty much everything that we do almost is on it. Beyond that, and our procession towards truly paperless or paper-like records, we went further and we implemented electronic document management system about 5 years ago now, called Evolve. And now where we sit is about 95% of our outpatient clinics are all electronic now. So we don't do real time, it's episodic scanning. So at the end of an episode, we scan it in. And we've scanned in millions and millions of records and vastly reduced the size of our paper library. Beyond that, and thinking more holistically, in the last couple of years, we've been very much involved with the development of integrated digital care records. And we've worked with partners right across Cheshire to serve a population of about 740,000 people with the creation of the Cheshire Care Record, which brings together data from mental health, community, social care, primary care, acute, cancer and other organisations as we progress. So quite an integrated record that's widely available now across Cheshire and hopefully is making a real difference on the care that we provide. So we've thought about internal, we've thought about external. But in terms of our ambition, one of the things that we've learned is that we've still got lots and lots of problems. So even though we've used lots of technology and we've done lots of good stuff, there's still lots of challenges for us to face. In terms of those challenges, I won't go through them in detail, but I think anybody who knows anything about the healthcare system, and particularly the acute setting, will read some of those things and have a sense of what it's like in their district general hospital, what's like in their health economy, in terms of the challenges that we face. But there is opportunity. We're increasingly looking, again, further than just individual organisations. We're very much involved with the local delivery system as part of the STP here across Cheshire and Wirral, as part of the Merseyside and Cheshire STP. And as part of that, we started to think much more in terms of how we manage and utilise our assets, not just in the organisation in real time, but also beyond our organisation. Very overactive clicker today. Okay, so in terms of particularly what I want to focus on today is this idea of tracking things in real time. So we've been looking at procuring a system and recently signed a contract with a company called Teletracking to implement a tracking system, and we plan to track pretty much everything that we can that moves. So our individual devices, medical devices, our staff, our patients, our beds, because we feel that unless we know where those assets are in real time and the people that we're serving within the organisation, then how can we manage our organisation effectively, efficiently, and in the safest way possible? We've had lots of data for a long time, and we've had lots of systems for a long time. And increasingly, we've got closer to working in real time. But where are humans involved? Often there are other priorities that conflict that real-time aspect. So whether it's the nurse on the ward who doesn't discharge somebody particularly timely because they're dealing with another urgent care need on the ward at the time, and let's face it, I guess that's what we'd want them to do rather than entering data into a computer system. That's what we've trained them to do. That's what we pay them to do. But nonetheless, that has an impact. So if we're not managing our assets effectively and we've got beds lay empty, or we've got patients sat there that are waiting to go home, and for whatever reason something else hasn't happened in the system, often we don't find out until, you know, from an efficiency perspective, it's too late. So we started to think very much about how we can operate our services both inside and across our locality in real time, and we very much see the tracking of those assets as being fundamental to that. So what does it look like? A couple of pictures. So in terms of our staff, it's relatively non-intrusive in terms of what they will carry, but it's in essence a card that fits behind your ID badge. In terms of devices, people who are familiar with radio frequency identification technology will be familiar with these types of devices. They've been around for a long time. And we can connect those and fasten those to our beds or to our equipment so we can know exactly where they are at any point in time, who's been using them. And last but no means least, in terms of tracking the patients. So we've obviously had barcodes on patients for a long time, but obviously that requires some form of intervention, whereas with this device it tells the system, it tells the technology where the person is at any point in time. And again, there's a whole kind of consent model around patients wearing that, but from the work that we've done so far, patients very much understand the need for us to know where they are and what they're doing in hospital if we're going to optimise their care and their outcomes. In terms of just again, to give it a feel for the kind of scale of what we're doing, there's some numbers across the bottom in terms of the devices that we're procuring as part of our contract. We've procured a few more spares, so to speak, that have very kindly been paid for by the supplier. We've got quite a neat deal with them at the moment, which is quite nice. And that will really hold us all accountable in terms of delivering. They want to make sure that we're successful. We want to make sure that we're successful. And the contract that we've done very much focuses everybody's mind on doing this well. So in terms of a ward environment, a care environment, how does this look? It has this idea of a virtual wall. So you might not be able to see it from the back, but there's a couple of ceiling-mounted sensors on that picture that use infrared, and they basically create an invisible set of walls around a bed. And we will be able to use those walls to be able to measure who's gone inside and outside of that bed space, for how long they were there, what equipment they might have taken with them. So when we get the query that sometimes we do from relatives, is that to say that their loved one or their family member hasn't been seen by a clinician or interacted with for a period of time, actually we'll know exactly who interacted with them, when and for how long. And obviously in terms of knowing what care they're delivering, we'll also be able to say what they were doing. So real clear visibility on what's happening in our organisation at the bed level. In terms of equipment tagging, probably self-explanatory really. So if a member of staff needs a piece of equipment, they will be able to find where the nearest one is to their location. We expect that will really help us in understanding our assets, how well they're used, where's the best position to locate them. Obviously, there's the kind of the maintenance and the overhead, but we should be able to reduce down our overall equipment assets under management because we should be able to use them in a much more efficient way, having this information available to us, than the way we do at the moment, which is often, you know, a finger in the air, how many do we think we might need, and as long as there's one available pretty quickly, then that's good enough. Well, it isn't anymore, because we haven't got the money to carry that kind of slack. In terms of hand hygiene, one of the key things that the supplier first came to the market with was a solution in Wolverhampton. In terms of an organisation that had quite poor hygiene and infection rates. And what it does is when a person goes to have their hands cleansed, it reads their badge. It knows when you've washed your hands, or at least when you've visited the hand cleaning station. And clearly, again, if you think about our infrared invisible walls, then you'll know whether somebody has cleaned their hands before they've interacted with a person in a bed. So real visibility that we've never thought that we could even dream of having previously. Again, patient wristband, so there's a whole set of aspects with that in terms of being able to know if somebody has left a ward when we're looking for them for the next part of their care, so that we haven't got clinicians and teams waiting for the patient to arrive because they've gone off for a crafty fag, or they've gone down to buy a newspaper, or they've gone to do whatever patients do when they're breaking the boredom of being in hospital. So at any one time, we'll be able to know where they are. We'll be able to know if they're in a place that they're not supposed to be, and hopefully then be able to recover them and return them to where we do need them to be to deliver optimum care. And the same in terms of our staff, though there are limits. So for those that might be wondering, we won't be tracking our staff into toilets for argument's sake. But we do need to know where our staff are. They're paid to deliver a job, and we need to make sure they're doing that in the optimum way. And it's very difficult to do that to the level that we would like to without the tagging and tracking of those people in real time. I talked briefly before about kind of thinking about beyond our organisation. The graphic there, the image was taken from a US hospital that uses this system at the moment. And really what I was trying to demonstrate is this kind of movement to controlling our resources and assets from a central point. So if I use an example of turnaround in terms of beds and bed utilisation and occupancy, which was one of the key things that we'll be working to improve, is that you've got a patient in a bed at the moment, they've got their tag on, they're discharged, they leave the ward. Well, instead of waiting for somebody on the EPR to note that the person's left, they'll drop a tag through a box that triggers a message to the cleaning team, the bed cleaning team. They will come straight up to the bed, they will clean that bed space, they will make it available, press a button, much like Declan's buttons, though I'm not handing out any chocolate oranges, to say back to the control team that that bed's available. The control team can see who's waiting to go in the bed, and they can get that person assigned to the right bed, ideally the right bed for them for the whole of their stay, so we're not transferring them from bed to bed throughout their period of stay with us. So the objective of using the technology is to close out all of those gaps. So, you know, what happens at the moment, you know, as I've alluded to, nursing staff don't necessarily discharge people in a timely way from wards. We don't have dedicated cleaning teams, so then we're reliant on people around their day jobs and fitting it in around other priorities to clean, which creates more delay. Then waiting for the bed team to be, you know, realise that there's a space, and then try to identify somebody to go into that bed space, and then hopefully get them up there and settled into that bed. So we're really looking to cut all of that waste out of the system and get to a turnaround on beds somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes from the first person leaving and the next person getting in. So I'm not quite sure what it'll be quite like for a patient when they get in and find it's still warm from the previous occupant, but maybe that's an advantage, we'll see. And we're looking to use the technology in the same way in terms of theatres. So anybody that's worked in a hospital and understands theatres will know about the delays that occur in terms of getting patients to theatres, making sure anaesthetists are where they're supposed to be, making sure surgeons are where they're supposed to be, and stopping everybody from blaming everybody else for why the system doesn't run as smoothly as it should do. We'll have the later, you know, we'll have the level of data to be able to see exactly what's going on and hopefully debunk what's real from what's fabrication, so that we can deliver the services in a way that people would reasonably expect us to use taxpayers' money. So this centre is the nerve centre, the control centre, so we'll go away from having highly qualified nurses wandering around the hospital looking for empty beds. We won't be having theatre managers standing on the door tapping their watch and looking at whiteboards. This will be a centralised team that will be looking at all of the analytics at any point in time. And for somebody like me, who's quite driven by data, this is quite exciting because I'm tired of seeing health services being operated on anecdote and, you know, personal views and opinions and no transparency and no clarity. I want the data to come through so we get standard high-quality care services for all the people that we serve. At which point, I'd like to say I'd take some questions, but I suspect that might be later.